It's Monday, September 9th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuously running tech podcast. This is show number 888, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our September GoDaddy special, get 32% off your order at GoDaddy by using the promo code GO32OFF1 or get a .com for $1.99. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, you know what comes next? Let's launch this baby. It's go time.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio, looking great over Greater Honolulu. And I have to just give you guys a little... right off the bat here, my daughter sneaked in right during the beginning of the show, and there's a DVD rack in here, so I think she's looking for a movie, so she's trying to be all quiet. I'm like, you don't have to be that quiet. Everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you to Geek News Central, and thanks for being here. All the longtime listeners of the audience, all the Ohana, and of course, the Ohana here in Hawaiian Memes family, welcome to the show. If you're brand new for checking us out for the very first time, thanks for being here, for making us part of your next hour and 10 minutes. And we hope that you stay throughout the entire show. Got a lot of tech to talk about tonight and a lot of things to cover. I tell you, it's been, I actually had to look at the calendar today because this month, even though it's only the 9th, it's just like, it's on jet fuel. It's on afterburner. It is going fast. And you're saying it's only the 9th, but I just remember it being the 1st. So it's been crazy here. Crazy, crazy busy. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But hey, if you're new to the show, definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. It's where really all the action is. And you'll find a place there to subscribe to the show. There's a newsletter link as well. So you get hooked up with the show. And really, that's the best way to stay informed with what's going on here. And everything I talk about today goes out in an email in the newsletter. And also, it's stored over at gncshownotes.com/ this is 888. But we keep all the show notes there, all the extensive. I mean, if you like, if those of you that are actually watching right now, you'll see here that I have, I'm showing you the last show, all the links that are in there. And there's, you know, 2025 links from the last show that are available for you to check out all the articles that we covered. But again, you can get that directly as an email, as part of a newsletter that I send out after the show. It's not this big interaction thing. It's just an email blast from me. So get signed up for either one of those. But really, it's a piece of cake to stay in touch with the show, and we encourage you to really stay in contact. And you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, and call our hotline at 619-342-7365. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your venting pleasure. You can basically send me an email and say, hey, what's up? Or correct me if I did something wrong or if I covered something incorrectly. Praise, hate, whatever you want to do. It's all good. Of course, you can watch the show if you prefer to really get that lean back experience. You can watch on your laptop, on your iPad, on the Roku, on Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast, you name it. You can watch the show if you so desire to do so. But, of course, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network over at techpodcast.com. And I hope that you'll take time to go over there. Lots of great shows that have basically agreed to have all family-safe content. And let me see who's up tonight. The latest episode of... looks like an Android show, blogging about the BeagleBone Black Box, whatever that is. So that show is up. And then there's a variety of shows that have been posted here in the last 24 hours over at techpodcast.com. So definitely check all those out. We're streaming tonight up on YouTube. went to set up the show tonight and don't know what the deal was. They were down for a little while, so just double check the stream. Everything looks like it's up and running, which is important. So we should be good to get into the content here in just a few short minutes. Of course, we want to take a few moments and want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show. And I tell you, we talked about it a lot on the last show, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this show talking about it. But GoDaddy's really turned the page, and they have, as the New York Times put it, got rid of the jiggle. And so the brand new spokesperson is Jean-Claude Van Damme. And, of course, we got a promo code of $1.99. So this is a great promo code to use this month for .com by using the promo code 199geeks. And you can find all my promo codes. They're easy peasy to find. And all you got to do is go over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy to get access to all of my codes. And, of course, the page there can be found right on the website as well. If you scroll down the website, you'll see GoDaddy promo codes. Just click on that. But $1.99 for .com or 32% off a new order at GoDaddy by using their promo code GO32OFF1. This one was it's gotten a lot of traction. A lot of you are using that. Of course, there's a code there for every occasion, everyday non-expiring codes. SSL certificates, $20 off, $10 off, $5 off. .coms for everyday pricing at $8.49. Or actually, renewals at $8.49. Then I got 10, 20% off. I got a 15% off on hosting. $1.99 hosting, you name it, it's all there. So definitely check it out over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, we want to thank the folks at GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And they quite literally keep the lights on and keep my family fed. And that's really important in this day and age. And we want to thank them for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. And definitely check out GoDaddy. A lot of positive feedback for their announcement and their update to their website. You guys can see it right here with the landing page that they've got set for the $1.99.coms. And really what that does is makes it easy for you to check out. And these special landing pages I have, you boom, 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 you are at the checkout counter in like three clicks. So definitely find a .com over at GoDaddy and pick one up. And I like it how they're focusing on small businesses and ladies. I think it's a lot of ladies have small businesses. And they're all very tech savvy and want to get the word out and build, good SEO for their business. So definitely check folks over at GoDaddy and their basically all their business offerings as well. Well, the trade winds are back here in Honolulu. Of course, they're blowing a little bit weird. They're shifting. Normally, they come right in this window, but right now they are basically blowing this way and making a shift towards the side of the house where I normally get the biggest relief. And they are not quite there yet, but it's the humidity's off, which is nice here in Honolulu. Because we don't normally have a lot of humidity anyway, but we're good to go here right now. So that's an important thing. Okay, this past Saturday I had a new media show with Rob Greenlee and I. We basically had Ram from Swell.am, and those of you that are iPhone users, you want to pick up the Swell app, give it a try. Favorite to follow or bookmark Geek News Central on that app. And of course, definitely check out all the shows. It's got a discovery engine that is pretty cool. I've been playing with it a little bit. So if you're looking for to find some new content, of course, we want to make sure that you stay subscribed here. But definitely check out Swell. It's another way to consume content. You know, this time of year, we're just a few days away from the 12th anniversary of the tragedy that really struck the United States on 9/11/2001. And, you know, I've told this story many times on the show, and for those of you that have heard it many times, I apologize. But for those that are new, it's worth stating. You know, I was here in Hawaii, living in a different house at the time, so active duty military. And when 9/11 basically went down, it was very, very early in the morning here in Hawaii. We're 6 hours behind the East Coast. So when I got a phone call literally in the middle of the night with my mom telling me to turn on the television and seeing the events basically unfold in New York City, I think we had turned on the television and it wasn't maybe a few minutes later when the first tower fell, because there was a little delay in getting the word to us. And I think she was working that day as well. But I knew right then that, having been an active duty member at the time, that my life was going to change on a dime. Having deployed a lot and really trained for 20 years really set me up in a good position. And when we headed off to war, essentially, a few weeks later, it was a surreal experience. And while I cannot go into the details of what I was involved with during post 9/11, I will say that it was rewarding. I would do it again. There was trial. It was very, very challenging. Flew my butt off, for a better word. And lots of stories that I can share with certain individuals, I guess, for a better word. Those that were there and those that were with me, we had some interesting experience. And those of you that have been in the show long enough and kind of understood my background before will understand why I'm being a little bit evasive. But the job that we did, I when I was getting ready to retire, the gal from when you're doing your exit, she basically was asking me, based on what you did, and do you sleep good at night, and how were you affected? And I told her I sleep like a baby because I know what I did was valid, and I knew that my kids were in a, much, much safer world. But it just, we're fast forwarding here, 12 years, and, we can't deny that many, many Americans and many, many other coalition military people died and continue to serve and be impacted. And there's even deaths today out in the operational areas. So, even though that event, it led to a lot of tragedy down the road. So it always kind of gives me a time to be a little melancholy about the period, because it was such a life changer for me. And, this show started 3 years later. I had done what I, it was really this culmination of a lot of things. But, we're fast approaching here. The, think about it. Almost a nine-year anniversary of this show. And that's it's huge. It really is. It's going to be a big, and when we hit 10 years, it'll be even bigger. But we're fast approaching 900 shows, and it just seems like such a long time ago. But yet at the same time, it was snap. It just happened. But as you're going about your business this week, and don't forget about the things that happened 12 years ago, and many of you may be younger. And you don't remember all of the, all the things that went on, but there's plenty of stuff on television to remind you. But I know that isn't a lot about tech, but I think every year around this time, I kind of get in this mode and think back of that time. My 76 days without internet was interesting. No internet, no phone for 76 days. That was quite the experience. At the same time that my mom, she got viral meningitis when I was deployed. The only reason that they basically allowed me to make an emergency sat call to her on a sat phone. And actually, they had to take me in a location where no one else could see me making a call, because it was real sensitive about anyone having any type of communications home that was, they had already approved it. But other members to see, there would be that jealousy factor, even though there was a family emergency. And I remember my mom, she was in a hospital bed, and she basically, as I could tell, she was in severe pain, and she told me, "I'm okay. Don't worry. Don't come home. I'm good." And that to me was like, wow, mom's sick. Could have been very close to death. And she's like, "Stay, don't come home." And it was quite emotional for me, but you know, she pulled through that and came back fine. But anyway, just wanted to, you know, kind of talk about that real here quick on the show. But a couple of days from now, we'll have the 12th anniversary of the events of September 11th. Okay, a couple of you have not gotten your Chromecast. And please, if you haven't got your Chromecast, then those of you that want a Chromecast, email me. Let me know that you haven't. I got one email. And everyone should have got theirs already. They all are ordered. So I wanted to basically, I'm already trying to figure out where the other one is that was ordered. So if you haven't got one, let me know. Okay, please. You know, I kind of talked about just a little bit that all this news today. I should have brought this up here in a minute ago, but the news, I'm kind of taking a regular news break, and you know that's kind of weird to sound. Sounds weird, but sometimes the news, it's just the same old, and for the proper word to use here, not make the show go really bad, is the crap that's in the news on all channels is just, it just sucks. I'm taking a regular non-tech news break as much I can, because isn't it just depressing a little bit? It really is, and it just seems like nothing gets done. So I just have to put that on the shelf and leave it there. So if anything big happens, you guys email me, okay? otherwise, I'm going to try to stay disconnected as much as I can. Podcast Award volunteers, we're looking for people to review the nominees this year. I need a large number of volunteers. I've actually reached out to a couple of other shows that are going to help me get people in from those shows, because I've asked so many of you for so many years to contribute that I'm going to start asking some of my other buddies that have a large podcast to ask their audience members to help out. They've agreed to not to disqualify basically themselves from participating. So if you're wanting to volunteer and help out in the review process, send me an email and let me know. We need 44 volunteers to do the awards nomination review process. So that's that. Okay, finally, thing before we get into the content tonight, you know, how many of you, and maybe it's my age, and I don't want to be this old fogey, cranky, you know, I just don't want to go there, right? I like to stay positive. I like to stay moving forward. But what is it with people not being able to read? They read 140 characters and that's it. If I send an email and if I send more than a paragraph in an email, or I send multi-line instructions, it just doesn't get read. What is the solution? You know, I had a lady email me today asking for some info. I sent her info back and she's emailed me, says, can you send me the link? And I'm like, I sent you the page. The link's right on the page. I told you right where it was at, and yet you want me to help you with the link? Oh, I didn't read your email. I'm sorry. I just need the link. You know, she could reply, but she didn't go to the website and look for the link. It just, to me, it just drove me crazy. What is up with people? I really don't get it. I'm seeing it more and more, and it's usually the younger, you know, folks that are, and I hate to say this, under 30, and maybe even under 25, you know, there are 140 characters or text message brain mentality. It's incredible. And I shouldn't lump everyone into that category, but boy, it is epidemic in a big, big way. Anyone else seeing that? You know, are you seeing that? It's driving me nuts. Okay, so let's get into the content. I've already jibber-jabbered enough here at the beginning of the show. And let me get rid of a couple of these pages that I don't need. Okay, so I think I'm good. And we'll get Chrome opened up here. Lots of good news today. And it really is. Of course, tomorrow is the live event at Apple. 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 7 a.m. Honolulu Standard Time. And the event is going to should brighten everyone's day. And they're, of course, going to be introducing multicolored iPhones, probably cheaper ones. And then a new version of iOS, which is coming, along with everything else, is going to be announced. And, you know, I just don't feel this big hype with the upcoming announcement. But there's a lot of people that are making speculation of what can come. There's got to be some sort. I just can't imagine there not being, how should we say it, some surprise. You know, there's too many expectations in the space right now for there not to be a surprise. Apple has to make some sort of a move that will, you know, essentially get them back on the cutting edge. And I just don't see them. You know, the last couple of announcements have been, okay, whatever, right? So if they're going to make it so that there's a lower priced iPhone, that's, I guess, good. But who are they going to target? Are they targeting my kids? Are they targeting folks that are, you know, because I don't want a colored iPhone. I just don't. And maybe other people do, but to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, quite honestly. So time will tell on where this leads. But what do you guys think? Do you think that this is a big deal? Think this is going to be a big announcement? Of course, by the time many of you listen to this, the announcement will be over. So why don't you just email and tell me what you think about Apple's announcements for today. And we'll talk about that on the next show. There was a little bit of a parody video done, and I want you guys to take some time and watch this if you can. It's pretty funny. And you can tell it was purportedly done by a group of Apple employees. And so I don't know if this was parody or somewhat truth or what. So, you know, they do play the parts of being Apple hipsters. And I guess that's what the new term for fanboys are, is hipsters. I don't want to be a hipster. I would much rather be labeled as a fanboy than a hipster. To me, that just, no, Todd is not going to be a hipster at his age. But anyway, I guess that's the new norm. There was a announcement today by Google Plus. And they're basically making it so you can, and I want to show this to you guys. Watch, those of you that are watching. Basically, I put a post up on Google Plus, and it was just basically, hey, very cool. We can now embed Google Plus posts on our blogs. Would have preferred a direct publish, but this is a start. So it's basically giving the embed code. You copy and paste it into your blog post, and you have all the abilities, all the, yeah, you can make a comment. You can, basically get information about the post, really all kinds of stuff. So what I don't like is, and those of you that are watching right now, watching the video, so just pay attention to the screen for a second. I know you're doing something else, but look up at this. Now I'm going to refresh the page and watch how this loads. So page loads, then the Google Plus post comes up. So it's kind of like it has to execute JavaScript or something in order to get the post up there. But anyway, a post within a post, and it is available to be, and hopefully they give us some options to make this look a little cleaner over time. But you can embed a post on your blog now, which is pretty slick. Because there's times I put stuff up there and I don't put it in the blog. So now I can just cross post it, cut and paste, and cross post it. Well, Apple is not the only one making an announcement this month. Microsoft is going to be unveiling a refreshed Surface on September 23rd. So they've got a big event planned. And invitations went out to some reporters and bloggers today for the event, which will kick off at 10:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday, September 23rd, 2 weeks from today. I never get invitations to these types of events. I guess I'm not big enough of a fanboy of Microsoft Surface to do so, but it looks like they're moving on. Now, Paul Thurrott's Win Superblog has got some unnamed sources asserting that Microsoft is preparing replacements of Surface 2 and Surface 2 Pro for the current Surface RT and Surface Pro, respectively. And so we'll see where this leads. But we know a couple months ago that Microsoft lowered the price of Surface because the basically warehouse is full of them. So this is partly to to go along with the launch of Windows 8.1. Now, Xbox users, have you seen the interface? Well, the Xbox One interface has been leaked. And I saw this today, and I brought my son in here, and he's a big Xbox fan. And I said, what do you think of this? And he looked at that, and he says, man, that's ugly. And, oh, come on, I don't need to see the ads, Ziff Davis. So I'm on the Extreme Tech website. So for those of you that haven't seen it, it looks like Windows 8. That's what the Xbox One interface looks like. They say it's fast. And so I guess this is what we're going to have. There's a 2-minute video of the dashboard, and people are saying it's looking quite promising. So this guy didn't take any steps to mask his voice or even hide his face. So we'll see if he's still a beta tester before this is all over. But definitely, I'll have the link there for you. You can watch the video over on extremetech.com. So pretty cool stuff going on. But I just kind of saw it, and I don't know. I still haven't bought into Windows 8 that big. And maybe with the 8.1 update, I'll have the guts to upgrade a computer. But at the same time, there's been a leak of a Windows 8.1 screen over on UberGizmo, and shows looks like a flat design. That's the big thing now. It's got to be a flat design, right? So anyway, the Windows Phone 8.1 screen again has been spotted, and some details there on that website about it. So if you're interested, if you're a Windows 8 phone user, you can check it out. All right, Kim.com is announcing that, teasing that he's going to have a new music service called Baboom, B-A-B-O-O-M. Pretty cool name. And the service will be ad-supported from the start. It is expected an ad-free version will be made available as well through a subscription model. According to .com, he believes that the free music model will reduce piracy while at the same time providing compensation to artists whose music is being streamed or downloaded. No word on when Baboom will be launched or how much it will cost, but we'll see if they can compete with Spotify, Radio, Pandora, etc. But being that Kim.com is such a rebel, he may get a decent-sized audience just from the simple fact that, he does what he does. So time will tell on this one. Anyway, I'll have a link up in the show notes for those of you that are interested and seeing what's going to happen or what this new service may look like. And they did do some screenshots, which they look pretty slick. Many of you that are gamers, you probably have purchased a Grand Theft Auto series before. It's being reported that Grand Theft Auto 5 cost $265 million to make. That's an incredible amount of money for a game. But this is about double what the previous Grand Theft Auto number 4 cost to develop, but they feel that they're going to rake in about $1 billion in sales before the year is out. And given that we're already in September, that's a lot of money to be made in a short period. So GTA 5 is expected to be released on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 comes 17th of September. So are you going to be going out and get GTA 5? Again, I'm not a gamer, so I don't know. Is this going to be the way to go? Now, Sony has made a huge, huge announcement, and they published a promotional video highlighting the new PS Vita and PlayStation Vita TV. And it's a 4-minute, 32-second video. I'll have the link up for it in the show notes. But this is an interesting way to play. And then basically, you're going to play on your PlayStation. On the controller, you're going to press a button that says Share. It's going to send like a text message or some sort of a notification message to your friends to their phone. Then your friends can see that you're maybe playing in a multi-game thing, and they can jump on a controller and jump into the game via the shared data that you've sent. While at the same time, if you've got a game that you're playing on your PlayStation and then move over to your Vita, it crosses over seamlessly, or you can stop play and come back to it later. The example they gave was a girl went to a college class and she had a break and she was able to jump back into her game where she left off from the console. And then talking about head-to-head type stuff, and you know where they do the tournament play. So the TV portion of this is kind of interesting, and it looks like it's just another set-top box play. We'll see where this goes and how much is available that Sony makes available on this TV version, but it's definitely a cross-link between the PlayStation and the television, and allow some duplicity throughout your home and using the PlayStation. So again, this is for the PlayStation 4 and how it interacts again with the PlayStation Vita and PlayStation Vita TV. So pretty cool stuff by the folks over at Sony. And again, they're under intense pressure to make something happen. Now, there's a great review over on Engadget. Now, when I saw the first Vita, I'll be honest with you, it was at CES 2 years ago, and the device, in my opinion, was really, really nice. The screen was incredible on it. So those of you that are PlayStation users, and if you bought a Vita, you know what I'm talking about. But the new Wi-Fi-only Vita will land in Japan first on October 10th, priced at 18,980 yen, which is really, with the exchange rate today, at about 190 U.S. dollars. But we could see the device in American stores a little bit later, but obviously multiple colors and pretty powerful processor in this unit. So we'll see where this leads, but I am sure that those of you that are fans are probably going to want to get your hands on this new game. Or actually, I don't know if, what do you call it, a hand game, or it's not a console, but you guys know what I mean. So, but I must admit, it's pretty slick. You watch movies on it, you surf the web, and again, this one that's going to be available in October in Japan is Wi-Fi only. Okay. All right. All right. We talked already about that. You know, Yahoo made a change to the logo, but it appears Google has a logo that's buried in a recent version of Chrome, and it's basically a little bit different. Not much, grant you, but just a little bit different. And again, flat design, the rounded edges, and I think the old still looks better than what they're labeling new, but it's not really known why they're doing this. One speculation is that this flatter design Google image will be used in lower graphic situation. In other words, when you don't have as much graphic horsepower to display the other logo, which seems to me a little weird, but that's the speculation. All right, little space news today. SpaceX Grasshopper, the future of cheap spaceflight, performed a perfect test flight. There's a pretty spectacular new video of its vertical takeoff and landing system, the VTVL. In this video, Grasshopper uses its single rocket engine to shoot up to an altitude of 250 meters, 820 feet, perform a 100-meter lateral maneuver, and then slowly return to the exact same spot it took off from while simultaneously scaring a herd of cows. So Grasshopper is the first stage of SpaceX efforts to create a reusable launch system that, by virtue of not wasteful dropping everything in the ocean, will massively reduce the cost of spaceflight. So we'll see where this leads. But again, Grasshopper is a simple single-stage 32-meter, 108-foot a VTVL powered by a Merlin 1D rocket. So what they really do is they bring you in the traditional way. You know, they bring you in high speed, hot, you're moving, you get to a certain altitude, they put you on a parachute, they get you to the next stage, and they basically drop you. And then this rocket kicks in and gently sits you down. I think I would just prefer to have the parachute ride the rest of the way down. But they want to be able to reuse the rocket itself. So we'll see where this leads. And again, testing is going on. NASA loses contact with comet-hunting deep impact spacecraft. NASA's veteran deep impact probe may have chased its last comet, spacecraft handlers lost contact with Deep Impact, which slammed into an impactor in Comet Temple 1 in 2005 and made a close flyby of Comet Hartley 2 in 2010, and recently observed Izon, a comet of the century candidate, something sometime between August 11th and August 14th. But the last communication was August 8th. And they are thinking they may not be able to get access to the satellite again. So this may be over for that particular mission. Time will tell on this. And also, if you applied to go to Mars, you are one of over 200,000 people applied. 202,586 people from around the world want to be among the first human settlers on Mars and the one-way trip there. So at least 202,000 people are ready to strap on and go to Mars and not come back. All right, NASA has launched the LOTI probe. That took off at 11:27 p.m. this past Friday from NASA's Wallops Flight Facility on Wallops Island, Virginia. They had a little problem with it. It was basically spinning, and they finally got, there's a power surge caused one of those wheels that we keep hearing about. To avoid from over revving, it shut it down, but then now they've got everything back up and they feel that the spacecraft is healthy and communicating with mission operators. So this is good. So this is the first moon launch out of Wallops. So congratulations to that launch facility, but a lot of stuff going on in space. All right, we're going to switch gears here a little bit and mix it up. The new Nexus 7 32 gig with LTE is now available on the Google Play store in the United States for $349. Carriers available are AT&T and T-Mobile. And pricing, I don't know what the difference between AT&T and T-Mobile is, but before you buy the T-Mobile version, just be aware that, you know, they do not have as robust of a coverage as obviously as AT&T does. Somebody, a link will be up in the show notes where you can check that out. I know several of you had asked when those were going to be available, and I wanted to share that with you. Udacity, known in the education circles, has teamed up with Google, AT&T, and other tech giants for what they're being termed the Open Education Alliance. So this is very good. Udacity is an open online course provider, and they have a mixed support among academics, but this startup is basically making alliances big time. And this group alliance that they've made is really the goal is to offer online classes to better prepare workers for jobs in technology. So this is pretty cool stuff here. They've teamed up with Autodesk, Cloudera, 23andMe, as well as education startup Khan Academy and Georgia Tech. So they're making some moves here. I'm really excited. I continue to be very, very pro online education. I think it's going to really change the way kids and, you know, high school graduates, when they're determining what they're going to do in the future, if they're going to go to college. You know, I think an education online is going to be highly, I think it'll be, how should I say this? Some people disagree with me thinking the college experience is important, but with the cost of college these days, you know, parents are looking for alternatives. And I think these are going to be viable alternatives for different types of education. There's certain stuff that's going to have to happen in the classroom no matter what, but I think this base stuff it will really be important, or maybe even advanced topics depending on what they put on online. All right, those of you that do any graphic stuff, do any 3D stuff, if you use a 3D modeling system, wait till you see the video. Okay, now just bear with me here. There was some software that's been demoed at SIGGRAPH Asia 2013. The software only requires the user to define the three dimensions of an object in a photo by swiping along them with a mouse cursor. Everything else from generating, texturing the 3D model to extracting it from the 2D photographs are all handled by the software. It does away with the need for a 3D scanner, multiple images, complex interfaces, and really, this thing is wow. I watched the demo. It's not, the software's not available, but it is in, when you see this video, you're going to be like, how can I get my hands on this piece of software? Again, it's not available yet, but if the demo, if the software does half of what the demo shows, I'm not kidding you, this is going to be a game changer. What they've done is incredible. You see the video, you know what I'm going to talk about. Just definitely check it out. And if they're able to get scaling right, holy cow, it's huge. It's huge. And it's just, you know, get a 3D image from a picture. Think about that a little bit. All right. I you know, for many, many years, Burning Man's been going on. And I've never really had a desire to go to Burning Man. And I didn't really fully get the gist of how big Burning Man was. But there's a drone eye tour of Burning Man that's available. And this is a link I found over at Gizmodo. And this shocked me on how big the Burning Man event is. And I thought it would be like, you know, a couple thousand people coming to hang out. Dude, ladies, this is a monster event. Monster. I couldn't believe how many people, how many trailers. It just goes on and on and on. I was dumbfounded. And, you know, I knew the event was big, but I didn't realize how big. And the prep that must go into this thing must be just off the hook. So, anyway, long story short, watch these videos. Anyone in the audience go to Burning Man? I would love to talk to somebody that has went, and I guess I'm just going to have to start paying more attention to it and looking at the, you know, it used to be where I thought it was just like this event where people like to go to get naked. But I think and get, you know, wear weird clothes and all kinds of stuff. I'm definitely going to have to check it out and see, but I can see why everyone brought their bikes. You know, they got bike racks by the, you know, around this complex. It's, you know, I really want more details now. I'm very intrigued just by the sheer number of people that went this year. And I guess it's, you know, been like this for a while, but it tells you how much I know. All right, Google Glass updates, ads, sound search, and more. And they've added some updates. I noticed the Glass had updated today when I put them on. But it adds a YouTube search to results, also grants access with those with Google app accounts. It also brings Shazam-like sound search from Android to your head-mounted display. Most interesting, though, is what they call, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Visionettes, which allows you to lay your current Glass display over a photo to produce an image like basically the one that's here in this demo. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. But it basically helps you find a location. So pretty slick stuff. Anyway, I have that up for you to take a peek at. But nice update to Glass. And, oh, by the way, my Pebble, you know, you guys know I ordered a Pebble, right? I talked pretty negatively on the last show about the Samsung smartwatch. The price of the Pebble was $150, and I should get sometime next week or maybe later this week. So I'm going to find out if this is a viable way to go. Maybe I'll have a different opinion after getting Pebble on how the Samsung smartwatch is going to integrate. I don't know, but I'll let you guys know after I played with Pebble for a few days. After I've gotten it and give you guys my background. What was kind of interesting was when they sent me the notice, I was mobile at the time, and I clicked on the link, and there was 50,000 units available, and it basically said in this order sequence. And I kind of thought that was weird. And as I drove, I kind of got to thinking about it a little bit, and I said, I wonder if that's going to count down. So I clicked on the link again, and there was 41,000 basically units left of Pebble in this order sequence. So I immediately stopped where I was, pulled into a parking lot, pulled out the iPad, and basically got to the site, and it was down to like 39,000 I ordered, and I got in. But those things were going fast. So I guess if you didn't pay attention, you could have missed out on getting your Pebble in sequence. And, you know, it could have been a couple hours before I checked mail, but luckily I did and didn't lose out. All right, USB 3.0, the new cable. Huh. Why did I show this to you guys? This new USB 3.0 cable is monster. All right, let me go ahead and bring the page up. I am looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Apple definitely had something right when they did Lightning. But this new USB 3.0 is huge. I'm thinking to myself, okay, does that mean I have to buy new chargers or what? You know, Samsung's Galaxy Note 3 is going to be the first phone on the market to feature a micro USB 3.0 connector. And, you know, there's some benefits here. You're going to be able to draw 900 milliamps of current when connected to computer versus 500 milliamps today. But it's huge. They, you know, when they're making these designs, they really need some people that can think out of the box a little bit when it comes to connector design. But I guess it's reverse compatible with your current charger. You're just going to have to be careful when you plug this thing in. To make sure you plug it into the right port. But anyway, it's just an ugly bugger. It really, really is. The folks at Android Beat says it's hideous. So I would almost have to attend to agree. Well, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about some stuff going on in the courts and other topics of that type of a venue here. Verizon says they should be able to block its broadband customers from going to websites that refuse to pay the provider to deliver their traffic. Now, let me say that again. Verizon Communications says they should be able to block its broadband customers from going to websites that refuse to pay the provider to deliver their traffic. Remember, you're paying Verizon. Current U.S. Federal Communication Commission rules prohibit broadband providers from selectively blocking or slowing web traffic going beyond. And basically, what's been argued here is that the FCC has went beyond the agency's authority granted by the U.S. Congress in the Telecommunication Act of 1996. Verizon lawyers are basically telling judges today in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia that the net neutrality rules prevent Verizon from charging websites for bringing traffic to them. And because they can't do it because of the FCC rules. And basically, Verizon wants freedom to be able to explore that and be able to charge for moving bandwidth. The judges seemed in their line of questioning to kind of indicate that they felt that the FCC really didn't have that authority. But the judges asked things on both sides, but I'm a little bit worried about this and how these judges responded. If Verizon is basically given authority to charge people for traffic, this is going to completely destroy net neutrality rules. And we'll see where this goes. Now, lawyers for the FCC and a coalition of groups that filed briefs supporting the rules face a skeptical panel of judges. Judge David Tatel repeatedly asked lawyers for both sides if the court could uphold the FCC's anti-blocking rule, preventing broadband providers from totally blocking their customers from going to some websites, while rejecting the agency's anti-discrimination rule, preventing broadband providers from giving some web traffic preferential treatment. So this is kind of an interesting move here. But we'll see where this leads. You know, and I agree. Verizon shouldn't be able to charge its consumers, broadband customers, then extort another fee from websites that the provider customers want to read. I agree with that. So we'll see where this leads. But hopefully the court sides with us. But I have a feeling it could go the other way. All right, article over on Tech Dirt. Former FBI lawyer who oversaw years of Fourth Amendment violations by the agency has been nominated for federal judge seat. Spencer Ackerman at The Guardian has compiled an in-depth look at Valerie Caprani, former top lawyer for the FBI and current nominee for a federal judge position in the Southern District of New York. Oh, my goodness. This is just crazy. So here we are. We're going to have more judges that have had this case law behind them involved in Fourth Amendment issues that have been nominated. It just, you know, are we ever going to get judges in there that are non-biased? John Hopkins has told a security researcher to remove a blog post about NSA encryption attacks from the university servers. Last week, I think we had it in the show notes, Professor Matthew Green posted some fantastic details about the likely attack vectors by the NSA to compromise encryption schemes. It was well written. It posted to his Blogger account and at the same time cross-posted to his John Hopkins website as well. And John Hopkins didn't tell him he had to take it off his personal site, but asked him to remove it from the from his work account. And, you know, John Hopkins has got a lot of smart people doing a lot of smart things for the government. So I'm sure that probably drove some of it. There's a good article on TechDirt about how, from John Gilmore, and how the NSA sabotaged a key security standard. And I'm just going to leave this in here. As you guys know, they feel that basically HTTPS and every other encryption standard that's being used on the web has basically been broke. So I'll have the link up in the show notes, and it's a pretty good read on how that they could manipulate the standards committees to basically leave the encryption a little weaker than it should have been. Google, though, is speeding up new encryption project after Snowden leaks. So in a new leak published by The Guardian, of course, Edward Snowden revealed new secret programs by NSA and GCHQ to decrypt programs designed to keep information private online. In response to NSA's ball run in GCHQ Edge Hill, Google said that it has accelerated efforts to build new encryption software that is impenetrable to the government agencies. Google has not provided details on its encryption efforts, but did say it would be end-to-end, meaning that all servers and fiber optic lines involved in delivering information will be encrypted. Well, they run into export issues with this. That's part of the things with the encryption. If the encryption is too strong, and the technology makes it outside of the United States, it's a big, big issue. Even if it's embedded in data, they don't want that encryption level to get out, I guess. So anyway, that was an article that was actually in Slashdot. So I'll have that up in the show notes for you. Seagate's going to be offering hard drive failure insurance. And I thought, man, this is good. Seagate announced two new plans to give customers a peace of mind when it comes to their hard drives. It's called Seagate Rescue and Seagate Rescue and Replace. Seagate's new plans are essentially hard drive insurance with data recovery included. Plans start at $30 for 2 years of Seagate Rescue. Through the company also offers 3 and 4 year deals at $40 and $50 respectively. Seagate Rescue and Replace runs $10 more, $40 for 2 years, $50 for three, $60 for four. But if your drive fails, you also receive a placement drive direct from the company. That's cool. So looks like Seagate may be going after my business big time. Seagate's also going to produce a 5 terabyte hard drive next year, and they're saying 20 terabyte by 2020. Well, I'm not surprised whatsoever. So 5 terabytes next year on a Seagate drive. Hey, if you got a craving for something, and sometimes you just get hungry for a specific dish, Foursquare shows you where to find a specific dish. If you're looking for a baked brie, or if you want a certain type of sandwich or certain type of dish, all you do is search. And it'll show you the restaurants that carry that particular thing on their menu item, which is it's pretty cool for Foursquare for doing that. Article over in CNET talking about basically begging Apple not to forget about the Macs that are out there that need updates. And they just go through a long list of Macs that have not gotten updates in a long time. And I thought this is kind of a curious read. Just wonder. I wonder why most of Apple's Macs are basically not getting as many updates as they used to. So, and it's a variety of updates based upon the age of your computer as well. And it's a tactic that's used by all the companies to try to get you to buy a new computer. hear about this guy that got on YouTube and made a confession of a drunken driving death. You know, this guy felt so guilty. He basically went on YouTube and confessed to killing someone in basically due to his negligence when he was under the influence of alcohol. So this is pretty powerful stuff. And it starts off by saying, I killed a man. That's what it was in his YouTube video. So he's been indicted and arrested. So this guy could be going to jail for a long, long, long time. But interesting how he did that. The NBA is putting in technology. Yes, the NBA is putting in technology that will basically be looking down upon the court that's going to be tracking every player's movement. So that's kind of an interesting deal here. That's one heck of a way for teams to be able to review gameplay. Player tracking motion capture are at a vanguard of and now ubiquitous of data analytics in sports. So this is pretty cool. They say it'll take several seasons worth of data and hundreds of hours of tedious analysis before they find out what nuggets can be gleaned from sports VU, what that's how they're terming it, and how dramatically influenced team strategy, player evaluation, and game broadcast. Teams will do most of that number crunching between themselves and guard their findings closely. The league, however, is open to sharing the data more widely, and they're expecting to get requests from MIT and so forth to be able to look at the data as well. So, wow, tracking every move on the court. Well, Tokyo, congratulations. Basically been announced as the host of the 2020 Summer Olympics. Of course, NBC's got a challenge here. You know, for most of you on the East Coast, Tokyo is 13 hours difference. For here in Hawaii, it's not too bad. It's only five. Five or six. But, I'm sure that coverage is going to be fun. And many of you will be mad because, much of the media will be 12 or 13 hours old. Hey, great article on BBC. And this one here will wow you. Are we really close to making human mind control a reality? And what they did in this experiment was two guys were separated. One guy was able to think a thought that was picked up by basically sensors he was wearing on his skull. And then that was interpreted and given as an instruction to another guy in another room who basically did the action the guy was thinking about. So this is pretty slick stuff here. And they were basically using EKG type of signals and so forth to be able to detect and replicate different things that the brain was basically instructing to do and what would have happened if you would have been attached to, if you had been physically. So what they really did is made the other person do the actual task to execute it. So very, very cool stuff. And the link will be up in the show notes. You guys can read it. But makes you go, if they get that down, we're pretty close to doing data upload. last couple articles here. Coach who taught people how to beat lie detectors is headed to prison. Well, judge says anti-polygraph training is a gray area between free speech and crime. This guy was teaching people how to beat lie detectors. And he basically was training criminals how to cheat the system. I don't know how effective he was. But apparently enough for this guy to get put in jail. And for quite a while. How long did he get? He got, how many years did he get? Got a couple of years at least. But they had a little sting operation and everything. I'll link it in the show notes for you to check out. All right, final article. The Many Faces of Steve Jobs. The paperback comes out. Is available with a younger image on the homepage. So if you've been waiting to buy Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson, the hardcover sold well, 1.7 million copies. So we'll see what happens here. But Amazon's taking pre-orders of the pack of paperback for $14.60. And so you can pick that up if you want. All right, that's it for today as far as content goes. I've got some emails to go through. And a quick correction to make from a previous comment a listener made. We'll get to that in a second. Got an email here from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, breaking down the PS Vita TV, why Sony's 100 set-top box is more than a consolation prize. So I have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Jeff. Got an email here from Andy, basically saying NSA just needs new jobs. So he has a link about some content that's going on with the people hiring, or them hiring, the NSA hiring. I got an email here from Frank. He says, hey, Todd, I think you missed. Now, Frank sent me a pretty extensive email on the last show. He says, I think you missed the sentence in which I said I agreed with you that some secrecy is necessary. And he goes on to say, and no, I certainly wouldn't stop listening to your podcast. I can't break the habit after all those years. So thanks for correcting me, Frank, on that. I definitely appreciate it. You basically corrected me. I was probably reading that thing so fast that I missed that point. But thanks for those emails. Hey, folks, don't forget here, you can email the show real easily by sending me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. You can call our hotline at 619-342-7365. You can always reach me on Twitter at Geek News as well. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you tonight. And we'll be back, of course, with you Thursday here from the studio in Honolulu. I think this is the longest I've been home in one stretch in a couple of years. It's pretty cool. I don't think I have any travel scheduled here for at least the next month, which is nice. And it's been nice just to kind of not be in an airplane all the time. Although I am 30K short on making 100,000 miles this year, which has got me a little concerned because I would definitely want to keep my status. But I'm not just going to go fly to fly. That doesn't fit in anyone's budget. But definitely going to be looking to see a way to make that up if I can to get that 100,000 before the end of the year. But other than that, I think I'm ready to roll out. Don't forget our sponsor. If you get a chance, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check that out. We want to thank all of you that become insiders at geeknewscentral.com/insider or via the link on the website by making contributions. We actually got, I got to check. I want to thank Paul. Paul is a longtime listener. Paul, actually, I've known Paul for a number of years. So I want to thank Paul, Paul Mulladen, for sending a check-in. Greatly appreciated, Paul. I definitely appreciate your financial support. And we got another business that has asked to remain anonymous, sent in a donation as well. So the checks work out great. PayPal's fine as well, too. So you guys can find that information at geeknewscentral.com/insiders. But every donation to the show helps. And if you know of an advertiser that's looking to advertise on a podcast, or you hear of a podcaster that's running an advertisement that you haven't heard before, drop me a line. Give me that intel. We're always looking to add advertisers to our inventory at Raw Voice, and ultimately we'll end up as an advertiser in this show. So anyway, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for listening. Again, gncshownotes.com/888. Emails geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, the hotline, 619-342-7365. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care and aloha.